The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Mick Norton, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater in the studio. Domestically, we have racing from Bath and Fos Lass. A big day over in Ireland at the Curra. It's Irish St. Ledger Day there. And there's some good racing over in France as well on Sunday. A whole host of group races at Longchamp as well. So plenty of good racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm very good shape, Mark. Rather better than you, I think.
Yes. It's not hard to be better than me at the moment, John. But, we've had some good racing at Doncaster, and it continues on Sunday with the Curra and at Longchamp. A bit quiet domestically, John, but still plenty to look forward to, isn't there?
Absolutely right, yes. And, I mean, I've taken two at the Curra because I think that's outstanding racing on the Sunday. But we saw some pretty good stuff at Doncaster.
Yes, and we're going to look back at some of the stuff at Doncaster early in the week as well. On Friday, the big race at Doncaster was the Doncaster Cup, and a touch of deja vu about it, John. Time's up beating High Jinx, the same result as last year.
Yeah, good news. Mark, good news. Having had a long sequence of losing naps, I was nervous about napping Time's Up, but I saw every opportunity for the horse to win again. I'm a great follower of time of year for horses.
Yeah.
And I reckon that Time's Up always comes into his own in the late summer, early autumn. And I was with him the time before in the Lonsdale Cup at York and was actually very disappointed with his performance there. I'm afraid I was a bit of an armchair jockey, Mark. I reckoned that Ryan Moore had gone too far out of his ground on Time's Up and that he didn't give the horse the chance to really get into contention at York. I was wrong. I'll admit that, very wrong. I read Ed Dunlop before Friday's race, and it was perfectly clear that he had trouble with the horse, getting it absolutely spot on, and it almost certainly needed the run at the Knaves Mile. So I was wrong there, but I did stay loyal to Time's Up. I thought Ryan Moore would definitely be really keen to get the horse to win. The Newmarket man in the Racing Post reported that Time's Up had done good work on the gallops earlier in the week, and so I stayed loyal, and the race was run to suit.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, there was a bit of criticism for James Doyle in allowing High Jinx to get to the front a long way out. Being a supporter of Time's Up, I was delighted to see that happen. I do think he did actually ask for it a bit. Mm. It may have been the plan, Mark. Again, one's not, cognizant with that. It may have been a plan, as I say, by trainers to put High Jinx in front a long way from home, but I don't think it was. And I thought James Doyle, had got to the front too early, which was good news. Time's Up himself possibly got to the front a little bit quick because he doesn't do very much when he gets his nose in front. Hung a bit, but was always going to hold High Jinx, although that one did run, I thought, exceptionally well, considering that, being in front a long way from home, he was overtaken, and the way he rallied suggested that here's a good race to be won by High Jinx before the end of the year.
Yes, so we'll keep an eye on High Jinx, a winning nap in the shape of Time's Up for you then, John. And away from that race, a good day for Godolphin. They had another winner of the Mayhill Stakes. This time it was Itty Mile who came out on top, and then about half an hour later, 35 minutes later, Be Ready made a winning second start. He made his debut in Listed Company, didn't he, Be Ready? And then, so they obviously thought quite a bit of him. And he's done the business on Friday.
Yes, he did it very well on Friday, Be Ready. I was with him, Stephen Powell napped him. I thought Be Ready would win for Sylvester and Godolphin. He runs second, you see, in the Washington Singer Stakes at Newbury before that, Mark. And that race is always a good benchmark for future winners, I think. And it was won by somewhat. That Newbury race, who I know Mark Johnson rates pretty highly. And finishing second, I thought Be Ready would certainly improve. So no mistake, but he did the job really well because he was out on a wing early on towards the centre of the course, no cover at all. But he stayed with a voice of a leader and then took that one, moved slightly towards the stands rails and ran on very well indeed. I would have thought Be Ready's got some big prizes coming his way. And you would have to say that Itimal was also very successful in winning the May Hill. Mind you, I thought she would. I was a little put off by KP in that he indicated she wasn't very big and that perhaps the rain might inhibit her chances. And, you know, that did worry me slightly. But as things turned out, she ran extremely well, straight as a die, and stayed on with great courage. I wouldn't necessarily say she will progress to be a great three-year-old, because I think KP is absolutely right.
She's
physically not that big. But the form was all there. I mean, to say she was placed in the Chesham, which has worked out magnificently, and she'd won the Sweet Solera. Her form was absolutely copper bottom. She'd even had a runner-up to Kiyoshi earlier in the year. So, you know, I thought the form was perfectly clear that Itimal ought to win, and she did it very well.
Okay, and obviously recording this before Ledger Day, John, recording this before Saturday's action. Has anything else stood out for you at the meeting at Doncaster? Anything that's really caught your eye this week?
It's difficult to say. I was concentrating on Friday. My impression was not really is the answer to that, Mark. And I do have a little sort of pet hate. I'm not sure that these fixtures should go for 4 days. I think it stretches the talent available. I know that Doncaster have always had 4 days, but I would prefer to see a three-day meeting at the Town Moor, and there will be quality, much more quality put into it.
Okay. Right, let's move on to Sunday then, John. We'll be hearing from the Irish Sun's Declan O'Donoghue shortly. He's going to talk us through his thoughts on Irish St. Ledger Day at the Curragh. But we've also got your thoughts there as well, John. You're going to look at the two big races there, the Irish St. Ledger and the National Stakes. But before we get to that, at Bath, we have the 240, which is another race that you've picked out. And this is a handicap over 2 miles and 1 furlong. So stay is in action. It's one of the Sunday 5K bonus races as well. So a decent enough pot to the winner and a nice enough field as well, John. We're going to have, well, there's 17 declared. A couple of them might not go because they're engaged to run on Saturday. But, yeah, what do you like for the 240 at Bath, John?
Well, it's a very competitive race. I like 2 milers at Bath. And in fact, I quite like Bath as a race course. I think it's punter friendly because it is, to me, Mark, one of those tracks where you have to have specialists. Whether it's a sprint over the 5.5 furlongs, that particular distance which Bath specialise in, or, as in this case, a long distance trip, you tend to get horses who run at Bath regularly over those two distances and run well. So as a result of that, I'm putting a pencil through 3 horses that will probably get quite a lot of support in this race. They are the top one, Beyond. I don't like Beyond. I also think he's got too much weight. And then near the top also we've got Gabriel's King, who's got a certain amount of credentials to go well in the race. I'm not with him, neither am I within Spice Bar. The two horses I like in this race, Mark, are Presto Volante, to begin with, okay. Amanda Perrott's runner, and a decent stayer, and my idea of the winner, which is Callisto Moon. Let's take the Amanda Perrott stayer first of all. Presto Volante has been running well this season and has picked up several decent prizes, so much so that I thought he was something of a shoe-in last time out. Never, ever believe that, Mark. And Presto Volante was actually, to me, very disappointing last time out. But I think he has a touch of class about him, and he could go well. But for me, it is Callisto Moon for Joe Hughes and Dane O'Neill in this race. Callisto Moon reserves his best for Bath. I hope there's not too much rain because he also likes a sound surface. He looks well treated. He was a winner last time out. He's got Bath in capital letters written all over him, and I'm going for Callisto Moon to do the job again at the West Country course.
Okay, Callisto Moon then to enhance his course and distance record in the 2:40 at Bath. Over to Ireland we go then, John. The 3:50 at the Curragh is their feature race. It's the Irish St Ledger, a Group 1 contest over a mile and six furlongs. And, well, if Galileo Rock doesn't run on Saturday, he will be going to that. But I imagine he's running on Saturday, still in as we record this. So we probably have to overlook him. What do you like here then, John?
Well, I'm assuming that Galileo Rock will run in the St. Ledger on the Saturday mark, yes. Declan, no doubt, will go for Irish horses in this race, so I'm going to go in the opposite way and highlight the what I call the English-trained runners who've got excellent chances of taking this Group 1. It's a sad race for me in one way, in that I had earmarked this for Universal. Mark Johnston's really decent stayer. I knew that they hoped that this was going to be a Group 1 for Joe Fanning. So it was very sad when he fractured a pastern earlier in the week and was taken out. But I still think that English trainers have a very good chance of taking this race with two outstanding horses, Red Caddo to begin with. In a way, I'd love to see Red Caddo win this race because he is a tremendous horse going out to Australia again. But, you know, it's a marvellous performance in the Dubai World Cup to finish so close to Animal Kingdom when that horse was absolutely spot on, and I thought ran an extremely good race last time out. Red Caddo was runner up in a good class contest. He'll stay every yard of the trip, and I would expect him to go really well. But the horse that I'm going to go for in this contest is Azima. I thought Azima for the Godolphin team, who are in such excellent shape, had also shown very good form in Maidan. He was in excellent shape in the spring. But I was very much struck with the way Azima ran at York. It was a race, of course, in which I had hoped that Time's Up was going to win, the Lonsdale Cup. Time's Up didn't win that race, had a lot to do turning from the into the straight and couldn't quite get into it. But Azima was always up there, fighting a gutsy battle in the forefront, and held off Simeon with, I thought, tremendous determination in that Lonsdale Cup. And so I thought that was a much improved performance, and that it struck me that if Azima could just run the same sort of race at the Curragh, that he'd go close to winning this Irish St. Ledger. So I'm with Azima. Now, having said that, what do you think about the home contingent, Mark? Obviously, the Irish were very keen to win this race.
Yes, and I think they've got... Well, obviously, they've got a strong challenge. Ernest Hemingway, probably the best of the home team, do you reckon?
Should be, shouldn't it? Mm. I mean, to say Ernest Hemingway looks class all over him, and he won the Curragh Cup in very good style, and I think it's then the Ballyroan Stakes, which he also won, in which he beat Royal Diamond. Mm. But then, more recently, he was extremely disappointing.
Yeah, in the St. Ledger trial.
He was only third, and he was well beaten. I thought Royal Diamond ran extremely well in that race. Mm. I like Royal Diamond, of course. He's owned by Andrew Tinkler, chairman or chief executive of the Cumbrian-based Stobart Group, and had lots of horses running in the north. Michael Dodds still has one or two, and now he's with Johnny Murta almost exclusively at the Curragh, and Royal Diamond has been one of his flagships, and I thought ran tremendously race in the St. Ledger trial, but I do think that he may have what you might call exposed his manner of running. I thought that he was allowed a fairly easy lead in that particular contest. I'm sure this Sunday that will not be the case, and rivals will be aware very much that Royal Diamond is perfectly capable of running a big race from the front. So I'm going to go for the two British trained runners. I love Red Caddo, but I thought Azima had got a very decent chance.
Okay, that's The Irish St. Ledger then shaping up to be a great renewal of the race this year. And the next race is the 425 at the Curragh. And this is the Vincent O'Brien National Stakes, which is a Group 1 over 7 furlongs this time. And we've got a couple of banging form runners likely to be near the top of the betting here in the shape of Sadiam and two or more, John. Two or more of the British contingent going over for Richard Hannan and Richard Hughes.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Tormore or Tormore because I think, he's got a very decent chance. I read Richard Hughes in the Racing Post on Saturday morning. He's obviously fairly confident of a good run. In the past, the Richard Hannan horses who go abroad to Ireland, they do tend to do really well. And I thought that Tormore had shown significant improvement at Goodwood. He'd won quite well a Leicester Maiden earlier in the season, but the Vintage Stakes looked to be a fairly decent race, and incidentally were outstripped to have won on Saturday at Doncaster. That would be another advertisement for the Vintage Stakes form, because it was Tormore who just got up to beat the Godolphin horse at Goodwood. Third in the race was Richard Fahey's Parbold, who's got a high reputation and started favourite for a biggish race at York, the Gimcrack, if I remember rightly, subsequently, and finished placed in that. I didn't think the Parbold was suited by the course at Goodwood at all, and it didn't look for a long way that Tormore was also suited by the track. But Tormore, once they flattened out, ran on with tremendous guts, and I thought showed class and acceleration, and I think he's got a really decent opportunity to ram that home in the National Stakes. You'd have to say that David Watchman's Sudirman has got a major chance. I mean, two really good victories recently in the Railway Stakes and the Phoenix Stakes, and the Watchman horse is in very good shape. I think the Home Brigade will be going strongly for Sudirman, and he's got to be very hard to beat. And Friendship might go surprisingly, perhaps, for Aidan O'Brien. Not much of a run when Pacemaker last time out, but that was obviously a different sort of kettle of fish. Had won a maiden and a nursery at Tipperary in quite good style. Never, ever discount anything trained by Aidan O'Brien. But I hope it's between Sudirman and Tormore, and I'm with Tormore.
Okay, good stuff then, John. Thank you very much. If you just want to spin us through your selections one more time before you go.
Yeah, well, in the 2 miler at Bath, that's in the 240 with Callisto Moon. I'm hoping that in the Irish St. Ledger, Arzima will run really well for Godolphin at 350 at the Curragh. In the 425 at the Curragh National Stakes, I'm with Richard Hughes, Richard Hannan and Tormore.
Thank you very much, John. Enjoy it on Sunday. So those are the thoughts of Lord John Budd, and then for Sunday's racing, we can now go to the Irish Sun's Declan O'Donoghue to find out his thoughts on Sunday's racing at the Curragh and get his best bets over in Ireland.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Hi, it's Declan O'Donoghue of the Irish Sun here for William Hill Radio. Looking at today's fantastic card at the Curragh, we get straight into it, onto the second race, the 215, the Flame of Tara Listed. And no doubt it won't be on here. It's number 5, Dazzling. Well, she proved very well named in her debut here 2 weeks ago by Galileo at a Secret Garden. Now, she did run very, very green. They were afraid of that, but she was very impressive. She looked on as an Oaks filly for next year. She should win here. The possibility Joseph would be a pound or two overweight on the 9 stone, but I don't think that'll make much difference. She is very, very good and a very confident choice. Number 5, Dazzling, in the 215, the Flame of Tara. Well, we move on next to the 315, and again we're at Ballydoyle here, and number 5, Darwin. This one was supplemented during the week for this, and you wonder why he wasn't entered in the first place. They probably had bigger targets in mind, but there you go. He should certainly pick up this Group 3, a top horse in America, won at Belmont Park, got injured a little bit when he ran at Aqueduct, came over to Ballydoyle this year, and they think a lot of this horse by Big Brown. Wouldn't want too much rain. There is some forecast for later on, but really shouldn't be too much. And number 5, Darwin, is a class act here. He stands out really among these. Okay, on to the big race then, the 350, and this is the Irish St. Ledger. And I'm going to go here for number 10, Valouz de Coors. Now, the riding arrangements might put you off here a little bit when you see that Pat Smullen is actually on Pale Mimosa, but I'm sure it was a bit of a toss-up anyway. And of course, Valouz, of course, is owned by Lady O'Reilly, with whom Chris Hayes has been associated for a long, long time. This one won the Vintage Crop Stakes, you might remember, in Navan back in May. We were on that day. And straight after the race, Dermot Wells said she is going for the Irish St. Leger. So she's been laid out for this race all year. A lot of confusion during the week. What was going to Doncaster? What was going here? What would run? What wouldn't run? But I can tell you, this one has been trained for this race for months. She was just pipped here by Royal Diamond in the Irish St. Leger trial and will be spot on today. Number 10, Valouz de Coors in the Irish St. Leger, the 350. Well, one of the last great two-year-old races of the year here is next to 425, the National Stakes. And Suderman is bidding to do what will be quite a unique travel, I think. He's won the Railway Stakes, he's won the Phoenix Stakes, and now he's gone over a furlong longer for the National Stakes. He is very, very good. It's his first time over seven furlongs. That's one slight thing you might say, but he's been staying on very well over six. In fact, he looks as if he needs this trip. Some good horses I'd expect in this race. Richard Hannison's over two or more. Has done nothing wrong so far. And Ballydoyle is quite a few runners. Wiltshire Boulevard is top class, and we saw Giovanni Baldini, as expected, romping home at Dundalk last week. But I think number 5, Suderman, is just a cut above them, and he is the choice. So our selections today on the top class days racing here at the Curragh: 215, number 5, Dazzling; 315, number 5, Darwin; 350, number 10, Valouz de Coors; and the 425, number 5, Suderman. This is Declan O'Donoghue of the Irish Sun for William Hill Radio.
So there you go. The thoughts of Declan O'Donoghue and Lord John Budden. Then that's Sunday's racing coming up on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. this Sunday. Mick Norton, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater will be in the studio. It's Bath and Foslas domestically. Good racing at the Curragh. It's Irish St. Leger Day there. And there's also the Group 1 National Stakes on that card as well. And plenty of good racing from France at Longchamp as well. A whole host of group races on Arc Trials Day. So plenty of racing to look forward to on Sunday. And you can hear it all on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast. And enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.